Today on Wings, December 1st is World AIDS Day.
AIDS is the leading cause of death among adolescents and young people in sub-Saharan Africa.
Reporter Diana Wanyonyi recorded women in Kenya.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
As youths, we have a lot of responsibilities because we are the ones who indulge mostly with many sexual partners.
Maureen, not her real name, was born with the HIV virus transmitted from her infected mother. Now, at the age of 24, she looks healthy and energetic. Her passion to inform youths about behavioral change to avoid getting infected secured her a space in the community as the youth ambassador of HIV and AIDS. She says many youths on the Kenyan coast lack enough knowledge on the epidemic.
I'm urging youths to use condom with their partners, and if possible, they should stick to one partner. I know it's not easy, but kindly just use condom with your partner to avoid infecting others.
In Kilifi County, north of Mombasa, scholar Kabaira, a nurse at Malindi Hospital, elaborates on the cause of the new infections among the youths and adolescents.
Among the youth, the rate has gone down, but now it seems to be coming up again, especially between 18 and 25. Behavior change is not really there. They have forgotten about condoms. So it means we have to sensitize again the youth about HIV so that we can reduce the infection.
A recent survey by the Kenya National AIDS Control Council shows that about 300,000 young people are living with HIV and AIDS. MNAC Director Dr. Nduku Kilonzo.
We have about 1.5 million people in Kenya living with HIV and AIDS. And the role of the National AIDS Control Council is to provide policy guidance, not only for the health services, but for other sectors and other donors, other areas, including the faith communities, the churches, and so on. Of those, about 1.3 million are people who are adults above 15 years of age. The rest are people who are below 15 years of age. And so as we move through this presentation, I want you to consider that you have children living with HIV who are roughly about 100,000. And then between the ages of 15 and 24, where we have a few more, we still have a huge challenge. And as you can see from the numbers, from between 10 and 19, I know with a slight overlap, there's about 105,000 people and about 184,000, making just under 300,000 for people that we consider young living with HIV and AIDS. Sub-Saharan Africa, HIV and AIDS still remains our issue. If you look at adolescents, young people, and you look at the global burden, we actually contribute 82% of the estimated number of people living with HIV and 2/3 of the global estimated numbers of new infections, which translates as of last year to about 220,000 new infections. And we contribute most deaths for young people. AIDS is the leading cause of death among adolescents and young people in sub-Saharan Africa, AIDS-related illnesses. With the advent of treatment, more people are living with HIV rather than dying of AIDS-related illnesses. But as far as our young people are concerned, AIDS-related deaths is a real issue. So if I was to give just a quick progress report on Kenya, we have made a lot of progress on several areas. One is what we call availability of ART. As you all know, people who are living with HIV need to be on ART, antiretroviral medication, which are the daily drugs that they need to take. And of all the 1.5 million people, 75% are already on antiretroviral medication. But when you start to break that down by age, you find that only 60% of our young people living with HIV have started medication. And we are not doing well for many of the young people who have started medication in terms of they start medication, but there is a challenge with keeping them on medication, and that is why we are experiencing a high number of deaths. What are the issues for adolescents and young people? Some young people acquire HIV from a range of reasons, but most young people we know in this country who are living with HIV, the children are actually born and have lived with HIV since they were children, meaning they were born from HIV-infected mothers, and therefore we had transmission of HIV. And they form almost 20% of the total adult population if you push the age bracket up to 24 years. And so we have adolescents and young people. If you do the calculations, we are actually talking about 48 new infections every day in Kenya. Girls are more vulnerable biologically. Often they are carers at home. We know between primary and secondary school in terms of attrition, in the past we have had more girls who do not move from primary to secondary school. And so what happens with all of those young people? They become more susceptible to risk of new infections. We recently had a meeting with young people of 15 to 20 years, and we asked them, where did you learn about matters related to sex and reproductive health? And the answer was so consistent, it was worrying. Of the 22 young people who were sampled to answer that question, all 22 of them said the internet, all of them without exception. I think we are losing the battle to the internet. And the internet does not teach what is healthy for young people to know. It teaches what young people are taught by their peers to go and find out. Stigma and discrimination is a real issue. Why are young people dying from AIDS-related illnesses when we have medication? Many of them give many reasons. And the first one is the fear of discrimination and stigma in schools, not just by the teachers, but also by fellow students. So if I am a child living with HIV and I am seen carrying my medication to school, what will other children say about me? Will I be allowed to play? Will I be allowed to sit next to other children? And so that is a real issue. We also know that most young people do not know their HIV status. They have never been tested. And so that is something that I think I would like to request that we consider. And so the fear of stigma and discrimination by teachers, they feel that the school administration does not understand them, which is why they will not disclose. Again, this data came from focus group discussions with young people who are asking, but why won't you tell your teachers so that they can support you? And many said, we feel that our teachers do not understand us. Then they feel there is inadequate capacity to provide guidance on issues related to stigma and discrimination, and the health clubs that could become an avenue through which the discussions of HIV and AIDS and other health-related issues could be addressed. So, why we need your support and what can be done? I'm going to focus on four key areas. The first one is to address stigma, discrimination, and barriers to care. We have Kenepote. Kenepote is the network of teachers living positively with HIV and AIDS. There are Kenepote members probably even in this room. I haven't met any so far this morning. But I want to say that we need to go back to our schools and among our teachers, ask who is a member of Kenepote. They have information, they know, they have training, they know how to support addressing stigma and discrimination. And I truly urge you as head teachers to be able to get in touch with Kenepote teachers and utilize their capacity. I am also asking that we consider sensitization. Again, this is something Kenepote can do. During assembly, have sessions where information is provided, and also health clubs can debate on matters related to HIV and AIDS. Sautisikika is a network of young people living with HIV and AIDS, which was incubated under the National Network of People Living with HIV. I want to note that there are chapters of Sautisikika in every county, and we've been able to connect them with some of the county directors of education. We have met some of them here. And I just want to note that Sautisikika can come and give talks to schools, because not all of us are comfortable or have the knowledge to talk about HIV and AIDS. So I'm asking that you consider having these talks to your students. The second thing that I think schools can do, next slide, is that we can ensure that our family health curriculum is taught once it starts being taught. And we can ensure that we follow up on the HIV education indicators that are in the name list. We have also started to work with the National Library Services, and in each of the libraries in the country, we have facilitated inclusion and addition of HIV information. There is a corner that has information related to HIV. Please use the National Library Services. And then the last item that I want to talk about is about services. HIV information can be provided to parents. Like I said, we can use Kenepote or Sauti Sikika during meetings and school gatherings. But also, testing can be encouraged where you have parental engagement, parents' consent, so that where you have, especially as young people transit from primary to secondary, they go with a knowledge of their HIV status. Then you can have counseling and psychosocial options for those who are already HIV positive, and you can ensure that they are linked with the nearest public health facility, because all public health facilities now have an HIV care and treatment clinic. So I think that if teachers and head teachers as the leaders of the school system were able to do those few things we are asking, and you do them consistently, and the National AIDS Control Council will provide you with the technical assistance and the support that is needed, because we have regional coordinators across the country, we would be able, and we are more than willing, to ensure that you're able to address the issues related to HIV and AIDS in your schools. I want to thank you all very much for the opportunity to be able to talk to the esteemed teachers in our country. And I want to say again, HIV and AIDS is still an issue for us in Kenya. It is an issue for us in Africa. We are not yet out of the woods. We are still carrying the largest global burden. And importantly, Kenya has the fourth largest epidemic in the world after South Africa, Nigeria, and India. So we still have work to do.
On Wings, African women address the epidemic of HIV and AIDS. You just heard Dr. Nduku Kilonzo, director of Kenya's National AIDS Control Council. Our reporter is Diana Wanyonyi.
In 2017, during the official opening of the Africa Health Agenda International, youth were urged to speak openly on the challenges they face so as to bridge the gap between them and their policymakers in their respective governments. Malawi's First Lady, Dr. Gertrude Mutharika, who is also the president of the Organization of African First Ladies Against HIV and AIDS, assured the youth that they will give them more support so as to empower them.
I wish to assure you that as African First Ladies, as your mothers, we have resolved to provide more support to you. We have agreed to give you more space to harness your potential. As OAFRA, we have made this resolution at our annual General Assembly held in January this year in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. I wish to emphasize that our eyes are now focused on you, the youth. We are committed to put young people at the center of all development agenda. This two-day youth pre-conference forum is the right platform for the voices of young people to be heard. It's an opportunity for developing strategies on improving the health of our young people. It is a great moment to support several scientific research designed to embrace new technologies and methods for addressing health challenges facing our youth today and beyond.
On her part, Kenya's First Lady, Margaret Kenyatta, member of the Organization of African First Ladies Against HIV and AIDS Steering Committee, applauded Dr. Mutharika's sentiments, saying that youth should be included in matters of healthcare.
One of the goals we must share as a continent is the ideal of an inclusive and responsive healthcare system that caters to the needs of all people, including youth. Youth-friendly healthcare systems that respect the needs of youth and the core values of our communities are critical to empower this generation and secure socioeconomic and political stability for the future. Africa is home to more than 60% of people living with HIV in the world and has 72% of HIV-related deaths. Over 70% of infected youth have either acquired the disease through dangerous sexual practices or they were born with the disease. Addressing this HIV challenge requires the inclusion of our youth to come up with youth-centered, youth-led interventions.
In the same year, 2017, Kenya officially launched oral pre-exposure prophylaxis, in short, PrEP, for people who are living HIV negative but at high risk of infection to protect themselves. In Africa, Kenya is the second country after South Africa for introducing pre-exposure prophylaxis to its citizens with the aim of reducing HIV and AIDS burden in their respective countries. Pre-exposure prophylaxis is an antiretroviral drug taken daily by HIV-negative people most at risk of HIV infection to reduce their chances of becoming infected. PrEP can reduce the risk of getting HIV from unprotected sex over 90%. However, because it's not 100% effective, it should always be used with condom, safer sex practices, clean injection equipment, and other HIV prevention methods.
We are making good strides, but we still have work to do.
Dr. Elizabeth Irungu is lecturer at Jomo Kenyatta University in Nairobi and also PrEP researcher.
We have reduced the number of new HIV infections in this country, but we also have populations that are at very high risk and continue to get HIV infection. So that the interventions we have, even if they are working, there are some people for whom those interventions are not, new infections that are not subsiding or declining over time. Well, PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis, and that is where a HIV uninfected person at risk of acquiring HIV takes an antiretroviral medication every day. And by doing so, this medication is going to protect them from getting HIV. It's much the same way the way people take anti-malarial medication, even if they don't have malaria, when they are going to a place where they're likely to get malaria. So should they encounter with a malaria parasite, the drug in their system is going to prevent them from getting malaria. So that's the same way the pre-exposure prophylaxis works. By having the drug in your system, should you encounter the virus, it will not establish infection in your body. Clinical trials to prove safety and efficacy of PrEP began in this country in 2006-2007. So it's been almost 10 years, but we have great stories to tell because we've gone through the whole processes of research and are now at a point where we're saying we're going to roll out PrEP for populations in this country to receive this intervention to help them. So we began by doing clinical trials. And clinical trials are studies whose main aim is to answer the question whether PrEP is safe and whether PrEP is effective in preventing HIV infection. We did studies among HIV discordant couples in this country. There are also studies that have been done among men and women and among men who have sex with men in other countries and among people who inject drugs, all populations who are at risk of getting HIV. Okay? And very nicely, many of these studies actually confirmed that PrEP, if taken, protects people from getting HIV infection, and they are safe. But the thing is that for these drugs to work, they need to be taken. So there are studies in which many of the study participants did not take the drug, and for those studies, we did not find efficacy. But for studies where people took drug and it was in their system, levels of efficacy were actually as high as 90%. That by taking this drug, it protects you from acquiring HIV by up to 90%. So when that was done and we knew that it works, the next thing was to try and understand, is it feasible? How easy is it possible to implement pre-exposure prophylaxis in this country? And so we embarked on a project called Demonstration Projects, which are projects to roll out PrEP in specific populations in a targeted way so that we can learn. Okay, and again, demonstration projects were done for HIV discordant couples and for young women and for men who have sex with men and for women who engage in sex work. So populations that are at risk of acquiring HIV. And demonstration projects have also shown that it is possible that people will come and take PrEP in this country, and it will protect them from acquiring HIV. So with all this mass of information and knowledge, then the next step that ministry took over and said, can we now deliver pre-exposure prophylaxis to this country, in this country? Mm-hmm. And the national guidelines were released in 2016, mid of 2016. And come in early May, and in the first week of May, then there was going to be a program to roll out where we shall launch the national rollout of pre-exposure prophylaxis for people with ongoing risk in this country.
Mm-hmm. And do you think Kenya is ready for PrEP?
Oh, I think Kenya is ready for PrEP. Mm. People are asking, where is it? Where can we get it, right? Of course, there are people also who are skeptic and are wondering, if we roll out PrEP, what happens to, does that mean we shall not use condoms? What does that mean to all the other interventions that we know work? And so PrEP is an intervention that is going to be rolled out in combination with all other interventions. So PrEP will work when rolled out with condoms, with VMMC, with management of STIs, with HIV testing, all these other interventions that have so far helped in reducing HIV transmission, we will then add PrEP onto that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the thing that I want to tell people is that for us to know whether you need or do not need PrEP, you need to go for a HIV test. That's the beginning point. For PrEP to be delivered, it has to be to HIV negative people. And so Kenyans need to test. Many, many Kenyans do not know their HIV status. And it's only after knowing their HIV status that we may be able to assess risk for them. And by assessing risk, then we'll determine whether they need PrEP or not. And if we find they're HIV infected, then we are going to put them on treatment. And when people are put on treatment, they also reduce their risk of transmitting HIV to negative people.
How much will it cost for a dose?
Well, so the ministry is going to offer pre-exposure prophylaxis to Kenyans for free.
Okay.
So they'll walk into public health facilities, mm-hmm. and if they are eligible to receive PrEP, they will get their bottles mm-hmm. of PrEP and they will get them for free. Mm-hmm. But they need mm-hmm. to have a HIV test before they get a supply.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges that you researchers you went through when were in process of making this PrEP?
Well, I think first, it takes a long time to research, yeah? So it's a long time of waiting to find out if this product works. And then even after getting results, you then have to have demonstration projects, which also takes time. It informs, but it also takes time. And then also there's the lag time before research gets into policy. Because now guidelines were launched in 2016, and we are only saying almost a year later, this is when we're going to have national rollout. So that is a challenge in itself, yeah? But research also itself is costly, is expensive, okay? And so that is also a challenge in how we do research in this country. But by and large, with all the good results we have received, I think our benefits have really, and the good things that have come out of it have outweighed any challenges we might have experienced. Next, we need to do a lot of education, mass education, okay? So we need to educate the media, for instance, they need to know about PrEP so they can pass the word around. We will educate healthcare workers, okay? Because then those are the people who will be the guiding point and who will decide who goes on PrEP and who doesn't. But they need to be informed, because when they're informed, then they can inform their clients.
And lastly, which other countries using this program of PrEP?
Several countries in the world have started implementing. The US is one of the countries, but in Africa, Kenya is going to be the second country. The only other country is South Africa. Yeah, and we are very, very excited about this. Yeah.
What message do you have to the people outside there, Doctor?
My message to Kenyans is that there is hope. We have lots of hope in this fight against HIV. Kenyans HIV infected and at risk have something that can work for them. If Kenyans are HIV infected, we have treatment for them that will work for them. So people should not be desperate and should get out and get tested, and depending on their results, we will manage them.
And you're sure this program will reduce the HIV burden in Kenya?
Oh, I am convinced it is going to reduce the HIV burden in this country. We have teams in Nairobi, we have teams in Thika, in Kisumu, in Eldoret. We have teams in Uganda on the same project. There are teams in Mombasa also. So there are many, many people who are invested in this process.
However,
PrEP does not prevent sexually transmitted diseases, and it does not prevent pregnancy. For females who are on the PrEP and do not want to conceive, they should use family planning methods.
Over time, we see that as much as we have very many different combination prevention methods, we are still not achieving our target of reducing the infections to the rate that we want them to be at.
Dr. Barbara Mambo, Program Officer at National AIDS and Sexual Transmitted Diseases Control Program, NASCOP, says PrEP will help in reducing of new HIV infection in Kenya.
And we have already started seeing an increase in HIV infections, new HIV infections amongst certain demographics. Here we're talking about the youth between the age of 15 to 35. And we're also seeing it amongst the girls. So in a bid to try and reduce the new infections from happening within this demographic and to promote life, we are starting to adopt PrEP, which is a recommendation of WHO. Long term, we still do not know how well as a country we'll do on PrEP. So it's something that we're going to monitor and see how well it works for us, how effective it will be for Kenya and for Kenyans, and then continue to evaluate as we carry on. So far we haven't said it's for a certain amount of time, but then we are going to be monitoring it throughout.
Is it free?
Yes, free at government institutions and public institutions, I mean. But it will also be available privately at a cost. But for you to be able to be on PrEP, you have to fulfill certain criteria. And it's healthcare workers who have been trained to identify these people who will need to be on PrEP and to continue to follow them up. For government, you'll be able to get it free of charge. The policy surrounding PrEP is that currently it is as a means of prevention, meaning that whoever is going to be on PrEP has to be at baseline HIV negative. And beyond that, we will evaluate to look for the people who we feel or who the healthcare worker feels is at substantial ongoing risk of acquiring HIV. Those are the people who are going to be on PrEP.
And what are some of the adaptations that you have taken as NASCOP?
Adaptations in terms of training. Well, we've already procured the commodities. The commodities are available because it is not the mainline, streamline ARVs. It is a byproduct. It's one of the products of ARVs, which we did not have in country before. So we have managed to procure this commodities, and they have already been distributed to the facilities that will be offering the service. And we have already trained healthcare workers to be able to monitor and to provide the service to the Mwananchi when need requires.
The World Health Organization recommends oral PrEP among populations with a high HIV incidence of 3% per year or higher. Kenya has included PrEP in the revised national guidelines on the use of antiretroviral drugs for treatment and preventing HIV infections. Kenya is currently fourth on the global list of countries with the highest HIV burden after South Africa, Nigeria, and India. Reporting for Wings, I am Diana Wanyonyi in Mombasa, Kenya.
As of September 2018, the PrEP Watch Data Clearinghouse estimated 25,000 Kenyans were using PrEP and reported the target number as 37,000 by year end. One brand name drug and one generic version have been approved for use. Phases of the project were funded by 12 different agencies and foundations, most of them based in the USA. To hear Wings programs again, visit our website, wingsradio.org, or email wings@wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.